This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
A warm good morning to all of us. I believe we slept well, in Jesus' name. Let's give praise to God. No bad news from everywhere, anywhere. No blind eyes, no deaf ears, no broken bones. God is good. Lift up your hands and just appreciate God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you. Thank you for bringing us to your feet. At this moment, we ask that even as you have begun with us, that you will continue this morning. Let your name be glorified and let your people be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated and offer your neighbor a smile. If that neighbor is not that friendly, look for another neighbor that is more friendly. Hallelujah. Well, welcome online, on site. The Lord bless you richly in Jesus' name. I count it a great honor all the time when I stand here. I don't take it for granted. And again, I also deeply appreciate the love that I feel so strongly from the Remnant clan and all of us. I want to, yes, thank you so much for the love. In fact, yesterday I felt like royalty. When I just stepped out of my car, I saw a little girl with a beautiful bouquet, and I was like, wow, what I see far away has come home. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to appreciate Mama Dina Osai for this platform. Let's celebrate her. Celebrate her. She's an amazing daughter of Zion and a wonderful lioness. Amen. We want to appreciate Apostle Aromel Sai. You know how he keeps pushing us. You go, you go, you go. And he just stands there encouraging us. You know, the Lord continually bless him. Give him long life, strength, and health in the name of Jesus. Apostle Tony and the wife, the Lord bless you, my friends. Hallelujah. And every other woman here, those that came with me from Otukpo, the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. My topic has been said is balancing, you know, creating a balanced marriage, career, and ministry. Amen. I don't know if it's in that order, but of course, when it comes to putting it in the right order, it must be home. That's marriage first, ministry, and then career. That's the right order. Amen. That's the right order. So, because in relating with God, for every individual, it must be your relationship first with the Lord. If you're married, then your marriage, and then your ministry, and your career. If you juggle that order, there will be trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. If you place career before God, there's trouble. If you place marriage before the Lord, there's trouble. And if you place ministry before the home, there will be trouble. Amen. So it's important that not only that you create balance, you must know which one takes priority at every point in time. And our reference point is Judges. The life of Deborah, she was able to capture these three dimensions. The Bible says, Deborah, the wife of Labitoth. Deborah, a prophetess. So her relationship with God first, the wife of Labitoth, and then she judged Israel at that time, in that order. Let's trace that Judges 5, or thereabout. Is that 5 or 4? I think 4. Judges chapter 4. If you give priority to one above the other without creating balance, you will just find that there's a lot of, you know, a struggle, and then you'll be creating room for the enemy to attack in the home. You'll be creating loopholes for the wicked one to have an advantage. Now, Judges chapter 4, verse 4, it says, and Deborah, a prophetess. How did she turn into a prophetess? She had a relationship with God. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, the wife of Labidot. That's her marriage, isn't it? And then she judged Israel at that time. That was, you know, ministry, including, you know, all the antecedents that came with it. So our relationship with God must be fundamental. And then if we are married, good and fine. But if you are not, as you're waiting, you're preparing your heart to be the way it should be. And then the Bible says she judged Israel at that time. It didn't say Deborah. She judged Israel at that time. And then the wife of Lapidot. No. It came in a particular order. Her relationship with God was so, so strategic to making the other things strike a balance. Hallelujah. And of course, you'd need the Holy Ghost to help you strike the right balance. Amen. We've heard a lot yesterday, Mama Dina, in that wonderful ministration, you know, told us a whole lot about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. There is no woman that can strike a balance, or a man for that matter, who does not have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. So if you don't know the Holy Spirit in depth, then in fact, take on that journey. That's the first thing you must balance before you, you know, have any other thing in place. If your relationship with the Holy Spirit is just, you know, once in a while, you just visit him once in a while, or he comes only when you have issues, or he's more like a magic wand when you want to, you know, push away demons. Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. That's your relationship with him. That's so dry, and that's so, you know, without intention. The Holy Spirit was specifically sent to us by the Lord, you know, after his departure, so that we can be able to prosecute ministry, live our lives with meaning. Amen. Your life will not make much meaning, number one. Your life will not make much impact, number two. Your life will not create purpose if you don't have any relationship with the Holy Spirit. Is somebody understanding me? So there's this, it's not a secret somewhere. Some people will meet me and ask me, Mommy, what's your secret? I'll say it's my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And they'll be so disappointed. Maybe they thought there was something somewhere. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the third personality in the Godhead. And I don't know why sometimes people think is it just the Holy Ghost that is your secret? Yes, he is. He indwells me, and then from inside, he powers my life to the outside. Amen. Hallelujah. So make sure your relationship with the Holy Spirit is intact. And you will find that you will be a woman of relevance and a woman of impact in all of these dimensions that have been mentioned in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So if you must make enemies with anyone, let it not be the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And as the Spirit of God indwells you, you need one, a dimension of God, which is called wisdom, to bring forth balance as well. I'm still on my introduction. Hallelujah. You need the wisdom of God. Let's open to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom can, you know, take you so far on this journey, because there are many things that you maybe, let me say, there is no pattern before you that you can follow. How many of you grew up with those of you that are married, did you grow up in the same house with your husband? Or even if you lived on the same street, you know, and even if you courted for 3-4 years, you will find that you need wisdom to live with a man, because as they keep transiting from one phase to the other, there will be a change. You know, the stage of courtship is different, isn't it? At the stage of courtship, you can do no wrong. Amen. As one man of God observed, if you're walking with your, you know, your fiance, and you strike your leg on the stone during courtship, you'll be like, this must be a demonic stone. What kind of problem is this? Sweetheart, are you hot? You say, no. You say, are you sure? But if you get married and you are strolling on the road and you hit your leg on the stone, you say, were you not watching? I mean, hallelujah. So those are different phases. And some of us will start weeping. He has changed. He has not changed. You know, it's just that he expects, you know, to be more mature and careful now. Don't be forming that delicate sister, you are supposed to be now strong. And that's what we don't want. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not saying men shouldn't pet their wives. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you there are different phases and how to, you know, grow up into that phase and face the reality that is upon you. So we're talking about a dimension we need in order to bring God's balance. We've talked about the Holy Spirit. Now, Proverbs chapter 8, it says, doth wisdom not cry? Okay, sorry, media is 8. Give me. Doth wisdom not cry? Are you in Proverbs 8? Doth wisdom not cry? That means wisdom is actually calling out. Like a conference like this, now wisdom is calling out. Doth wisdom not cry? And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places. Marriage is a high place. Ministry is a high place. The home is a high place. Hallelujah. She stands there by the way of the places of the paths. What path am I going to take in my career that will bring balance? What path am I taking in my ministry, in my marriage that will bring balance to me? She crieth at the gates. Just when you get married, you are supposed to, you know, at that point, the point of entry, gates is at the point of entry, the point of decision. You are supposed to employ wisdom. She stands there. She's crying. She's asking to the sons of men, don't go on this journey alone. You need me. Hallelujah. She cried at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Those times you need to take decisions. Those times your heart is looking for what to do and there is no pattern before you, or the decisions are so strategic that you don't even have time to consult. Wisdom is right there. Hallelujah. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Amen. Now, because of time, I won't read so much down, but please find time to read Proverbs 8 and 9. But verse 10 says, receive my instruction. So if you are going to be someone that will have balance in ministry, marriage, and career, you must be one that works with the instructions that the Holy Spirit will give, either through, you know, the word of God, either through promptings of the Spirit. You must work with instruction. Hallelujah. Say, receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So don't pursue first after riches, after money. Seek to know the instructions and directions. How do people do this? How do they carry out this? How do they work and get this? A young married wife came to me one day. She was like, I don't know how to do. My husband gives me money. I don't know what to do. He gives me money to shop, and I don't know how to bring balance to my kitchen. Is there anything wrong with asking? Hallelujah. You know, the brother was well-to-do, and he gave her enough money to last for 1 month. She didn't know what to do. I had to cancel her because I had lent. Because when we got married initially, my husband used to give me money. He would say, take money, go and shop for 1 month. And the house I grew up, we go to the market like every other day. You know, that's a big deal. You won't even understand what to do. If you're not careful, you just go to the market and buy chocolates, you buy chin-chin, you now buy, and then before 2 weeks, you now come and stand. And then you look very foolish. Hallelujah. So I had to let my husband say, shop, you know, cook, put them in the freezer. He had to counsel me and teach me that. Hallelujah. I didn't know what to do, so I had to learn how to, you know, buy. And then I became better over the years. This is how many were in the house, how many pieces of meat will be okay for lunch, will be okay for this and that. Tie them in a pack and then, you know, put the soups in the freezer, do this, do that. Hallelujah. So I had to teach her that wisdom. I know a young lady that the husband he's a contractor, so his money comes as at when due. And then when he gives her money, she'll go to the market. She will shop for all kinds of goodies. If you go to their house around that time, you can eat at least either 3-4 pieces of meat, big, big ones in the soup. But after a week or two, she'll just be broke. She didn't have wisdom. Hallelujah. So wisdom comes with instruction. And instruction can come either as a prompting of the Spirit or from people that know more than you do. I'm going to bring balance. Don't worry, I'm just trying to bring some introduction. Now, If you look at chapter 9, it says, wisdom had builded her house. She had hewn out her seven pillars. Amen. That's Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. How does she build her house? She has some instruments, which I believe that by the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying it's all exhaustive, but looking at chapter 8, I was able to trace out the pillars that she used to build her house. So if you're going to bring balance, because your life, your marriage, your ministry, and your career is a structure that you're building. If there's any challenge with any one of them, there'll be a collapse on one side. And we don't want that happening. Praise the Lord. So, as the Lord gave me understanding, I traced the seven pillars that she uses to build. In verse 12 of Proverbs chapter 8, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Amen. So one of her pillars is prudence. To be prudent is to be, you know, someone that is careful, is diligent, is in carrying out things. So if you find someone who is not prudent, it means that one pillar is lacking in their life. Hallelujah. A prudent person will check up. You put your baby, in those days, we used to use cloth nappies to wrap babies. How many people use cloth nappies? Only Mommy Aka, Gege, myself, and then just few of us. This other generation is the Pampers generation. Hallelujah. So, if you're a prudent woman at that time, we used to use, what do they call that thing? Pin, safety pin, you know, to hook the nappy together. But much later, there was this other plastic hook that began to rain. You could use it to hook in three places. But when it was, you know, what do you call it, that safety pin time, a prudent woman will not just pin the thing and walk away. You pin it, you put a safety hook, and then you check once in a while. Especially if the baby is crying, you should check maybe because there are times the thing will go off because they are playing, and then it begins to pierce them and they'll be screaming. A prudent woman won't start saying, you cry too much. You cry too much. Huh? This generation of children that don't like to keep quiet, check up to see. I'm just giving you an example of what it means to be prudent. Keep checking, keep being careful. So that's one pillar that wisdom has that she uses to build her house. Amen. Let's locate the next pillar and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Knowledge is another thing. What you don't know about, go and study, go and find out. Don't just go to a place and then you enjoy the cooking and you didn't ask what method they use to make their soup sweet. Even if it means going tracing a mama put or a book that your husband is always visiting to go and find out how she cooks, go and learn. Hallelujah. We are not answering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of us don't know how to cook as well as some other persons. Is that not so? So go and find out. There's no harm in learning. Praise the Lord. It's when I got married, I learned how to bake. My mother taught me chin-chin. She taught me some other things. I learned how to bake. And almost for all my children, after a point, I think after the, is this first or second one or third, I started baking for their birthdays. Amen. Just for the fun of it and to be like, it's exciting when you are turning and they say it's their cake. They're running around. Amen. So knowledge of witty inventions. Number three pillar, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is what? Yeah, so it's a pillar too. It's one of the pillars. You know, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Amen. So that's the fear of the Lord. There are things it puts you away, so you turn into a wise person. When you find somebody who does not like pride, who does not like arrogancy, who hates evil, the evil way, and does not like people who talk too much, is a wise person. Amen. And then 14 says, counsel is mine. So that's another pillar, isn't it? That's another pillar. Counsel and sound wisdom. What you don't know, go and ask. Go and seek for counsel sometimes. Seek the face of the Lord. Sometimes you are asking God and he's not speaking so directly. He may direct you to someone to seek counsel over a matter. Is that not so? Hallelujah. Seek counsel. So counsel is one of the pillars. And then, you know, it says, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. That's wisdom talking, isn't it? We are looking for balance, isn't it? So if you're looking for balance, it means that you should go somewhere. If princes use wisdom to reign and all of that, then we need this wisdom for balance, obviously. Amen. And I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit. So righteousness is another pillar. Amen. You know, there are two kinds of wisdom in the book of James. The wisdom that comes from above and the wisdom that is sensual and is earthly. So righteousness, that's one of the kingdom cultures too. So it's a pillar. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. So I lead. You know, wisdom is a leader. Amen. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. There are many paths in this world, but if you must trace the path of judgment, you need wisdom. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance and fill their treasure. Verse 22 says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was, when there were no depths. So when your ministry, your marriage, your life has no yet shape, you need who? You need wisdom, because wisdom was with God when God was creating. He says, or ever the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass on the face of the depths, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass by his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Are you seeing? So if you're going to create balance, marriage, home, ministry, everywhere, this wisdom that was there when they were doing all the things, God was forming the earth, giving it shape, it was just with the Lord. And he says, I was daily rejoicing. I was watching how he put things together. By wisdom, by the wisdom of God, the earth is hanging in space. I hope you know we are hanging in space. Have you seen that picture before of the earth? It's just hanging in space. Wisdom says, I was there when he was doing that. Amen. I was there when he says, oh, see, don't cross this bound. Don't overrun. I'm going to create land and people later. But you don't have to know what I'll do with this dry land, but you stay here. So wisdom will go ahead, you know, of some of your plans and your purposes. God will put wisdom in you to carry them out so that you know what to do part time. Amen. Okay, I think I mentioned five. Okay, I thought I said six. Now we'll run. Say, I was by him and all of that, you know. Verse 33 says, hear instruction. So instruction is also a pillar. Amen. Instruction is a pillar, and refuse it not. Blessed is that man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my post. Hallelujah. The ability to watch and stay, you know, that staying ability is also a pillar. Stay until you hear God. Stay until, you know, you are able to, you know, the ability either in fasting, in just waiting patiently for what God will say next is also a pillar. Amen. Don't rush off when you are not yet sure about what to do in a particular area, whether career, whether ministry or marriage. Amen. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, I could just dwell on this wisdom. I so love this, but okay. For one moment, I looked and saw time up. I was like, I had to. Okay. Praise the Lord. I think that's the one that was up before I came. Or is my time up? Praise the Lord. So you will find that we need wisdom. Chapter 9, let's do verse 4. It says, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Amen. The wine is the Holy Spirit, and the bread is the word of God. Say, eat it. It will help you. as you journey on. Forsake the foolish and live, and go the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Amen. A foolish woman is clamorous, verse 13. She is simple and knoweth nothing. And we cannot afford to be foolish if you're handling these three dimensions. She knoweth nothing. And it's not a crime to know nothing, but it's a crime to stay like that. You can study up, you can read up, you can prepare yourself, sharpen yourself in every area. You know? For she seated at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn hither. As for him that wanted understanding, she said to him, stolen waters are good. What a philosophy. How can stolen waters be sweet? Just because you don't labor for it. But when you steal waters and you drink them, they can't bring nourishment to your body. Stolen ideas, stolen, you know, philosophies, stolen understandings. If it doesn't come from the Lord, if it doesn't emanate from the word of God or from the promptings of the Spirit, you stole them. They look sweet, but, you know, and she says, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That's not, you know, a counsel that is from the Lord. So we've established the second point. The first one is intimacy with the Holy Spirit. The second one is, you know, having great wisdom, which by the mercies of God will help us to prosecute our journey correctly. Amen. So if we cry unto the Lord, the Bible says, he that does not have wisdom, he should do what? He should ask from the Lord. Ask from the Lord. Lord, I need wisdom on how to take care of my children. I need wisdom on how to take care of my home. I need wisdom on how to run my career. And also need wisdom on how to make sure the three of them, there's a balance I strike that none is suffering, you know, at the expense of the other. Amen. Hallelujah. So the first thing we discover there is that we must receive grace to be organized. Amen. Be organized. If you're not organized, you're going to find that all of these platforms, you have confusion. Whether at home, whether in the office, whether in your ministry. I'm glad that some of us, maybe we took permissions from our workplaces, or we settled our home and then we are here this morning. For, you know, you're going, this program was going to take place, the flyers have been out, and then you suddenly woke up by yesterday morning as if, you know, there was no program, you no plan, nothing. If you're going to have a program like this and you need to be away from your workplace, either you take permission ahead of time or you do your work ahead of time so that there's no, what do you call it, cluster of work waiting for you. Amen. And then you make sure at the home front you've settled things such that there won't be clash with this dimension and all of that. So we need organization. You need to write out, you know, for me as a person, when I get to the office, I write out what I need to do in the office for that day, the ones that are urgent. I write out what I need to do at the home front also. I write out what is urgent, what can wait for a week, what is a target for a month. Is somebody listening to me? Get a piece of paper and write. So if I look at my jottings in the week and see whether I've been able to, and when anyone is carried out, I tick it. For example, I'll say, the staff processes on me, I need to file my reply in court in the next 21 days. So the process came in today, and okay, like I have a week, I have other things that are, you know, I have timelines that are more, you know, putting pressure on me, so I can wait for a week. But by the second week, I'm telling myself, this week I have to file. If I don't file in the next 21 days, I'm going to be running out of time. And the court will be asking me to pay costs. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm supposed to save money there. So I'll write it, okay, next week you must file. And then next week you must visit Sister Jane. Next week you must call up so-so and so. Amen. And when I enter next week, I'm ticking. Hallelujah. in all of these things, you will find that, the three platforms may be involved, as I'm jotting down. You don't have to keep to one. But if something is that urgent, if you have sticker notes, fine. That's these notes that have whatever on it, gum on it that you stick. If you don't have a piece of paper, it's okay. And if you don't have a piece of paper that you can write, you can also talk to one of your child. Some children are very smart. Say, please, Junior, remind me, I need to do this, I need to do that. And you can be sure when the time comes, the child will come to remind you. Hallelujah. We have so many things to do as women. So there is no way your brain can carry all. So you need to write down priorities. You need to write down long-term goals, short-term goals. Is somebody understanding me? If you leave everything to chance, one side will just suffer. And you must be conscious of time. An organized person is very conscious of time. You don't spend all the time on one area. Hallelujah. If you're taking out time to, if I'm working in the office, sometimes if I need to draft especially, I'll just put off my phone, lock my door, because I need all the attention. And then for the next 1 hour or two, I'm drafting. And then when I do that, I put on my phone. If I need to pray, I can shut down my phone too, so that calls don't keep coming in. So we need to be organized. You will find that the problem, why some of these platforms, the three platforms, may suffer sometimes, because we lack organization. It's not that the strength is not there. It's not that the wisdom is, that the grace is not there. But there is no organization. May God give us wisdom to be organized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God himself was so organized. He didn't create, the cow and the fish before he created light. Light was first, because illumination, so that everything, can have perspective and see. Then after light, he created this, that. Everything was orderly. Is that not so? He could have just said, let the fishes fill the sea. And then maybe there was no dry land. And then he made cows. And cows don't swim. Hallelujah. So you must be organized. It's very strategic. You will find, you know how much some people do in these same 24 hours that you and I have. Amen. They're writing books. They're giving talks. They're taking care of their children and their husband. That you just wonder. You just wonder, how do they cope? There's a wisdom God gives them to be organized. Be organized. When my children were small, one of the things that can delay you and cause you to go late to church is looking for children's panties and their socks. How many of you have an experience? So if you wait till Sunday morning, you will be frustrated and you will go late to church. So I have a pack that I keep their socks. I have a pack for their pants. And then it's Saturday evening, I iron. Don't say by faith there will be light. Not in this our environment. Iron on either Saturday or Friday. Iron and keep. And then on Sunday mornings. In fact, I even boil parboil rice on Saturday evening. It doesn't go bad once it gets aired. So that on Sunday morning, I'm just boiling. I know not all of us may be financially whatever. Some we get money just at the last minute. But you can do in such a way that by save money in such a way so that by Saturday evening you are preparing more because of Sunday. If you are a Sunday, service going on, whichever time you need. And that's on Sunday morning, I don't play. My name is Major General. No, I don't play. You stand straight when they are batting you. It's not time to be singing. No. You just stand straight. No smiling, nothing. Until we're all in the car safely, then mommy is back to her usual self. No, officer, there will be a repercussion for too much play. Hallelujah. Because I can't spare 1 minute. I may be taking Sunday school. Amen. Some of you say, hey, the devil is that. How can the devil be the reason why you come late for over some things? Except maybe there was, God forbid, an accident or something. You need organization. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You just need to be more organized. And it's God that will give you the wisdom. If you don't have it, go and learn from one woman that has 5 children and she's always on time in church. Go and ask her. There must be something she's doing. And Sunday morning I'm just using Sunday morning as an example. Whether it's office or whatever. There are some things that can wait. There are some of us that say, I don't like to leave my house. Every morning I must mop my house. And then you're coming for a program like this. You're supposed to be here by 8. And that's your tradition of mopping your house. You must mop it that day. You must do this one. Okay. They gave you prayers to lead. You come late. Somebody else is taking it and you are angry. Why didn't they wait for you? So we are crossing all the platforms, isn't it? Now, why is important to deal with all of these platforms is that the kingdom of God is expressed, you know, is expressed in our marriage. Marriage is one of the places we advance the kingdom. So we must find how to strike a balance. Your ministry is also where, you know, is another platform where the kingdom advances. And then in your career, God also advances the kingdom there. Amen. So all of this platform must find balance so that you are effective and you are relevant to your generation. Amen. Hallelujah. So be ensure that in all of these places, you're finding grace. We've talked about, you know, seeking counsel on things you don't know about. We've mentioned that one, so you can just write it. And number three is that ask for help from the Lord. He will send a strong support system. You need help sometimes. Hallelujah. Ask God to help you. I remember when I was transferred to Makurdi here to work from Otukpo some years ago, like 7 now. My initial prayer point was, Lord, I can't come to Makurdi. I can't leave my children, my husband, and come to Makurdi. Either you transfer me back or I'll leave this work. And then I set up the prayer unit in the church, and then brethren, anybody I saw, it was a prayer point. Please help me pray. Let them take me back. Please help me pray. Let them take me back. And we used to fast. We used to pray. It was a serious prayer. Until the third year, I dreamt and I saw myself driving towards Makurdi. I knew the meaning of the dream. It means that you are still coming back to Makurdi. I now say, Lord. I said, okay, if that's your will. It looks like you don't want me to be transferred. He said, yes, you have what to do in Makurdi. I said, but why didn't you say so all this while you allow me to be praying? He said, but you didn't ask me. I hope some of you are not praying some of those prayers that will never be answered. At least in the way you want it. And then he started telling me what I was here for in Makurdi. And I needed help because, you know, even at a point, Papa was like, let me get a driver. Let me pay. I was like, I now discovered inside my car became an altar. This road is amazing. From Otukpo to Makurdi is one of the most amazing roads. So it became an altar for me. I pray while I drive. I drive. I pray when I drive. And then in that time also, I was able to do a whole lot of matters in Makurdi here that I wouldn't have done if I was in Otukpo. Is somebody understanding? I did a whole lot of matters. And recently, my boss asked me to bring... Do you have up to 20 judgments, cases you have done, 20 judgments in the last 10 years? I said, let me take... And when I checked, I did a list. I had up to 22. But was it easy? No. Sometimes when I drive, by the time I drive, initially when it was, manual, by the time I drive and reach home, my children know I don't talk to anybody. Just as I am without one plea. Because my legs are aching, changing of gear. It was not easy until the Lord blessed me with an automatic car. But even then, was it at times I'm really exhausted. At times I'm driving and I'm fasting. Hallelujah. And you reach a point you are exhausted and I have to like, God, give me strength. And you can literally feel strength coming. Amen. Hallelujah. So ask for help. The Holy Ghost will send you help. He will send you help in the form of people. I had a strong support system. I had my daughters at home that were taking care of the home front, you know. I had, you know, brethren here that were taking care of me. Remnant was one of my support system too. Praise the Lord. Very strong support system. It's a good place to clap if you want to clap. Hallelujah. They were so, so there for me. Amen. I didn't come to a dry and weary Makurdi. They were so, so there for me. Mama was, in fact, one of the days I remember, I was so tired. I went to her house to sleep. She was waking me. I was trying to make her understand I was not ready to wake up. I kept on sleeping. I thinking she would go away. She now, Mama, you know how gentle. She said, Mama, wake up. Is it 8 or 8:30? The time had so gone. But your sincerely was so tired. I just wish you would go away. Let me sleep. She had to wake me to eat. That's to tell you the support system I've had. Amen. But over time, I didn't used to get so tired anymore. I can drive, go straight to court. I was becoming stronger. I wasn't born a strong person, no. I was born fragile. And, you know, falling sick every other week. Just fragile lady like that. But I had to pray for strength. Because when occasion demands, you must wake up. Hallelujah. I had to pray for strength to be able to do all the things that I do. Amen. May the Lord release strength unto you in Jesus' name. Number four, at any of the fronts, work hard. Work hard. If you are going to be a wife, do it very well. If you are going to be in whatever career, if it's business you are going to do your business very well. Is Mommy Rojojo here? Eh? God bless you. Ha. Businesswoman. She does her business so well. Ah. She told me last time she's doing this. I haven't come to look at what she invited me to do. And she's such a good businesswoman. She's also teaching her little daughter. Amen. So whatever you are doing, if it's business, do it very well. Don't be the type that even my second to the last son, he said, I don't like buying things from that woman. When you greet her, she doesn't answer. That's not a good businesswoman. If a little boy will now prefer to go and buy elsewhere, and that place is closer to her house, I say, why you greet her? She said, when you greet her, she'll just be doing her phone. She'll hardly answer. I hope you are not those kind of businesswomen. When somebody comes to your shop, as if the person is annoying you. What do you want to buy? I mean, you should smile. Hey, well, customer, welcome. How's the family? Do it very well. And if it's ministry, do it very well. Don't become every activity. You are the one who is late. You are the one who is this. And if it's home front, love your children and your husband so, so well. You will create balance. I don't like football. I don't even understand it. But there's a point they are doing one champion league. Before you know it, all sizes of boys and men will fill our bedroom. Just be coming around 11 like that. You want to watch? I'll be like, what is it? They say there's Champions League. You don't know. As if I'm supposed to know. I'll say, All of them will file in till the smallest. So imagine 6 boys fill your room plus my husband 7. And so where do I go to? I'm not going anywhere. I'll sit there. So I'll sit and then we'll all be watching. They will be running around though. They'll run around with the ball. That's the ball. And then the people, the players, they'll be running around. And then the comments will be like, could have scored. And my honest opinion would be like, if it was so easy, why don't you guys go and practice? But usually I don't say, I'll just be like, you know? And then they'll run. They'll say, oh, first half is over. And I'm like, so I will sit, but I will sit here. Since it's all of us, let's sit. But you know, at a point, almost the whole family usually takes a side. And then I have to join them. But the side that even if I don't enjoy football, there's a side I love. What I'm trying to tell you is that be part and parcel of what is happening. So at least I used to understand when they score goal. Now, goal. And then, you know, as they're doing replay, as they're saying, see, oh, you know, Kai, this guy is a good. So I know how to say those ones now too. So he's a good striker. See, Kai, it was just God that helped them. It was just God. I used to join, at least that aspect I joined. And then if it's a draw, you know, there's penalty. That one, my heart used to join and beat for all of them, too, even if it's a replay. And we'll be praying, hey, let them score. Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, guide them. Be part of it. Don't be, you know, these are men. They like football. A lot of men like football. And they gather. It's not that time you now say, well, you people are carnally minded. Let me go and do my intercessions. Once in a while, join them. Champion League is not all the time. Amen. You don't know Messi. You don't know Ronaldo. If your children ask you, you say, you don't know Messi. Say, Messi. Who is Messi? Is he our neighbor? No. He's an international footballer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, please, be an exciting mom. Amen. Join the plane. When my kids were small, they said they wanted, one group said they are, which are the Reds and the Blues? The Blues, Chelsea and Man U. So I had to kit them up. The Chelsea man, I bought, you know, I think red. The other one, blue. It was canvas. They snap, bought them football. They have all outgrown it. Hallelujah. But be part of your home. Make your home warm. Be there. Don't be so spiritual sometimes that you don't know, you miss the moment. Now, all my kids are all scattered. None is at home now. I don't have those moments again. So, learn to enjoy the moment that is there. Even though they are scattering the place, enjoy that moment. It will pass. A time will come. By the time they enter secondary school and come back, most of the time, maybe they're around 15 years. These guys that are holding your skirt all over the place, looking for you, you'll be looking for them. You go to their room. Have you eaten?
Yes.
The voice has changed.
Yes.
Don't you want to come downstairs?
I'm reading, Mom.
You will come back again. They don't have your time. So when they are little and you can enjoy them. Am I communicating? So enjoy that moment with them every month. Be a mother when you need to be a mother. If you are so busy, you know, you can plan it in such a way that, you know, by the mercies of God. I know some of you are saying, what if we have Deborah intercessory by Thursday and that's their football day? Well, God will give you wisdom on what to do. Hallelujah. He'll give you wisdom on what to do. Hallelujah. So that's how we roll sometimes on the family front. And then when it comes to the office, so you have impact at home. For a husband like mine who is a medical doctor, we celebrate his birthday in 5 minutes sometimes. We bake the cake upon all the efforts. Early in the morning, he says, I'm off to work. He's carrying the children. He says, come and cut your cake. He puts the cake there and then we'll get a camera to snap in. Cut your cake. Happy birthday. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. He's gone. 5 minutes birthday. It's fine. I know some of you will have been in a mood. On all the things I did, I can't believe it. You're just going away without touching my cake. Hallelujah. Enjoy. The moment doesn't have to be very long, but make it impactful. Make home exciting. Even if you have to celebrate his birthday in the office, or her birthday, the child's birthday. So with all the fronts should fill you. Let it not be that moments come and then we don't feel you in the home. I don't want to talk about prayers because I know we groom ourselves a lot here on prayers, on a lot and ministry-wise. But all these other things. But of course, on prayers and ministry. Susanna Wesley had 19 children. 9 died at infant. And then she had 10 alive, including John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And at a point, they had a minister in their church, but the preaching was not as sound as she wanted. So I think in the evenings, she had a fellowship in her kitchen. 200 people used to come to her kitchen while they prayed and then shared the word of God. They prayed. That is where her sons learned ministry from. Hallelujah. So your home can be a hub, a place of raising great ministers. While you still do your career, whatsoever you need to do. Praise the Lord. For me also, if on the home front, if I do all of that, because I was just conscious one day that you're always shouting, you're trying to correct, trying to be this, and I'm like, hey, children, it was God's wisdom. These children will grow up and live. Oh, let me enjoy this moment. Please enjoy the moment. Amen. Enjoy the moment. Then when I got to office, God helped me. School runs are by, I drop them off by 7:30. I have sometimes by 7. Work opens up by 8. Is that not so? So I prepare early in the morning. And when I'm off from home. I drop them off. So when I drop them at 7, I still have between 7 and 8 for work to open. Amen. What do I do? The next thing I do, I get to the office. I set up. I begin to pray. There was a place at the back of our office then. I'll go there. Initially, I was alone. Lord, thank you. I was praying. And then much later, some of the ladies in the office, they joined me. Sometimes. And as we began to pray, we became like gate watchers. Something wants to happen. It will be revealed to one of us. Amen. So you are saying that I wake up early enough, do my devotions, drop my children off in school. As I come to the office, I'm bringing the kingdom too. Amen. I pray in that 1 hour. Then I pick up my things, go to court. And there are times I just used to pray. I say, Lord, help me so that I won't say praise the Lord in court because it's our language. I'm just praying one day, the judge won't ask me, how are you? And I'll say, praise the Lord. But the Lord helped me, I think. Amen. So you come to that frontier, we're praying and we're living out the lifestyle. We're advancing the kingdom at home. And when we get to our workplace, we're advancing. At a point, we're up to, is it three or four? A policewoman joined us, and then all of them used to see visions and revelations. Are we advancing the kingdom? Hallelujah. And then when we see visions about people, sometimes we tell them, and then we are also, okay, is this time correct? So we are also, okay. So we are also advancing the kingdom, even in the office. If you're your marketplace is trading, business, you can advance the kingdom there. Wheresoever you find yourself, there are no boundaries. The kingdom is advanced by humans. The marriage platform is one. The office, that's the career, and the ministry, of course. But most of us think kingdom advancement just has to do with ministry. All the platforms, and most of the time the platforms they interweave. Is that not so? They interweave. So you are the carrier of the kingdom. The kingdom is within you. So as you move about, you carry the kingdom. And of course, at the home front, the Bible talks about, in 2 Timothy 1, chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5, it talks about, a generation of women who were able to pass across a faith. They were able to advance the kingdom. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in thee also. That was the kingdom advancing. It started with one woman. To balance that scripture, to give expression to that scripture, let's look at Luke 13 verse 18. We'll see when the Bible was describing what is the kingdom of God like. He says, then he said unto them, what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? How do I describe it so that people will get an idea of what it's about? Okay. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast it in his garden. And it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in it and the branches. So the kingdom advances with growth. In whichever frontier you find yourself, in your home it must be growing. In your career it must be growing. You can't do business or run ministry and remain at the same level. You must be growing. The gift of God, the grace of God is advancing in your life, is, finding expression in you, and the fruits are evident. How many people have turned to the Lord? How many of your children are part and parcel of the Lord? If you see a child so stubborn, so strong, what stops you from taking that child as a prayer point, a 3 days dry fast? Say, Baba, touch this one. Change his life. Just you alone. Hallelujah. So when you cast it into the garden of the career, the ministry or the family, you water it with the word, water it with prayers, and what will happen? It will grow. And once it's growing, it will be advancing and taking space. Now, when it was small, why it says a grain of mustard seed? If you choke it up by packing, putting your hand, maybe like 20 grains and planting it all at once, what will happen? As they are growing, they will choke. They will choke with time. So you give attention to one thing per time. Cast it into the garden, whether it's the garden of ministry, the garden of marriage, and water it with the word, water it with, each one giving attention so that all are growing at the same rate. The next verse, please. And again, he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Since I've given you this one of mustard seed, in case you don't understand, it's like a leaven, hallelujah, which a woman took, put your name there, which who took? Put your name there. And hid it in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now, for Lois, she took faith. And then she hid it in a measure of meal. The measure, that's, when you're talking of measure, you're talking of, you know, coming forth to a place where your everything you're doing has a particular balance. Hallelujah. Measure. Hallelujah. So she took a measure. Louis took a measure. Eunice. And then, what's his name? Timothy. That's three measures, isn't it? As at the time Timothy came forth, he had broken forth as a servant of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So whatsoever you're doing is making effect. It's, you know, it looks as if nothing is happening, but it's growing. So I trust that the grace of God will be manifold in our lives to such an extent that none of the frontiers will have need to suffer in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And then again, please be current. Be like Jael. Did Jael recognize Sisera? Okay, so be like Jael. Know your enemies, know your friends, know what is going on. Don't let us ask you who is the president of Nigeria and you don't know, or who is the governor of your state, you don't know their name. Please be as current as possible. Choose your friends, make use of opportunities and windows, and then by the mercies of God, ensure that the Holy Spirit is mightily present at each one of the frontiers. That way you create a balance, none suffers at the expense of the other. Amen. Hallelujah. I think this time up is actually a time up now. But I'll take just one question or two. And if there is none, we'll make room for the next session. Is there any question? If there's one question or two, we'll take it before we prepare for the next session. One? Okay, if there's no question, it means that we understood very well or we didn't understand anything at all. Which one of it? Because if you didn't understand, it means we'll call one of you to take up the talk again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and pray. Can you ask for help from the Lord? Ask for help from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives wisdom. He's the one that directs. He's the one that gives counsel. Ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom. The Lord will give you wisdom. It's a heartfelt prayer. You will find that God answers very speedily. Ask for wisdom. Ask for help. Ask that the seven pillars will be part and parcel of your life. The seven pillars of wisdom. You go, we've studied it, so go and pray it into your life, but ask that those seven pillars will be part and parcel of your life. Ask that the Lord will make you sensitive. That you, in all of these platforms, you'll not only be able to perform, you'll be relevant, and the Lord will cause you to have a testimony in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. As women, Lord, we multitask with so many things. We ask that your grace will be abundant in our lives. Your help will be massive for us. Your wisdom will be part and parcel of our journey. Lord, we cover our spirit, souls, and body with the blood of Jesus. And we ask that, Lord, as you help us to navigate all of these platforms, your kingdom will be advanced and your name will be glorified. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.